College English Test, Band 4, Part 2, Listening Comprehension, Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear three news reports. At the end of each news report, you will hear two or three questions. Both the news report and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
News Report 1. A 9-year-old girl in New Mexico has raised more than $500 for her little brother who needs heart surgery in Houston, Texas, this July. Addison Witulski's grandmother, Kim Allred, said Addison probably overheard a conversation between family members talking about the funds needed to get her little brother to treatment. I guess she overheard her grandfather and me talking about how we are worried about how we are going to get to Houston for my grandson's heart surgery, said Allred. She decided to go outside and have a lemonade stand and make some drawings and pictures and sell them. That's when Addison and her friends, Erica and Emily Borden, decided to sell lemonade for 50 cents a cup and sell pictures for 25 cents each. Before Allred knew it, New Mexico state police officers were among the many stopping by, helping them reach a total of $568. The family turned to social media, expressing their gratitude, saying, "From the bottom of our hearts, we would like to deeply thank each and every person that stopped by."
Questions 1 and 2 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 1. Who did Addison raise money for? Question 2. How did Addison raise money? News Report 2. Last week, France announced that the country will pave 621 miles of road with solar panels over the next 5 years, with the goal of providing cheap, renewable energy to 5 million people. Called the Wattway, the roads will be built through joint efforts with the French road-building company Colas and the National Institute of Solar Energy. The company spent the last 5 years developing solar panels that are only about a quarter of an inch thick and are strong enough to stand up to heavy highway traffic without braking or making the roads more slippery. The panels are also designed so that they can be installed directly on top of existing roadways, making them relatively cheap and easy to install. France isn't the first country to kick around the idea of paving its roads with solar panels. In November 2015, the Netherlands completed a 229-foot-long bike path paved with solar panels as a test for future projects. However, this is the first time a panel has been designed to be laid directly on top of existing roads and the first project to install the panels on public highways.
Questions 3 and 4 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 3. What was France's purpose of constructing the Wattway? Question 4. What is special about the solar panels used in the Wattway? News Report 3. Lions have disappeared from much of Africa, but for the past few years, scientists have wondered if the big cats were hanging on in remote parts of Sudan and Ethiopia. Continuous fighting in the region has made surveys difficult. But scientists released a report Monday documenting, with hard evidence, the discovery of lost lions. A team with Oxford University's Wildlife Conservation Research Unit, supported by a charity organisation, spent two nights in November camping in a national park in northwest Ethiopia, on the Ethiopia-Sudan border. The researchers set out six camera traps, capturing images of lions, and they identified lion tracks. The scientists concluded that lions are also likely to live in a neighbouring national park across the border in Sudan. The International Union for Conservation of Nature had previously considered the area a possible range for the species, and local people had reported seeing lions in the area, but no one presented convincing evidence.
Questions 5 to 7 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 5. What has made it difficult to survey lions in remote parts of Sudan and Ethiopia? Question 6. What was the main purpose of the research? Question 7. What did the researchers find in the national park?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, you will hear four questions. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre. Conversation 1.
I bet you're looking forward to the end of this month, aren't you?
Yes, I am. How did you know?
David told me you had a special birthday coming up.
Oh, yes, that's right. This year will be my golden birthday.
What does that mean? I've never heard of a golden birthday.
I've actually just learned of this concept myself, fortunately, just in time to celebrate. A golden or lucky birthday is when one turns the age of their birth date. So, for example, my sister's birthday is December 9th and her golden birthday would have been the year she turned 9 years old. Come to think of it, my parents did throw her a surprise party that year.
Interesting. Too bad I've missed mine. My golden birthday would have been 4 years ago. I assume you've got big plans, then.
Actually, yes. My husband is planning a surprise holiday for the two of us next week. I've no idea what he's got in mind, but I'm excited to find out. Has he mentioned anything to you?
He might have.
Anything you'd like to share? I'm dying to know what kind of trip he has planned or where we're going.
You know nothing at all?
Not a clue. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Though, I must say, I think he's been having even more fun keeping the secret from me the past few weeks.
I'm sure both of you will have a fantastic time. Happy golden birthday. I can't wait to hear all about it when you get back.
Questions 8 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 8. What is the woman looking forward to? Question 9. What did the woman's parents do on her sister's lucky birthday? Question 10. What is the woman eager to find out about? Question 11. What does the man say at the end of the conversation?
Conversation 2.
Mr. Green, what do you think makes a successful negotiator?
Well, that's hard to define. But I think successful negotiators have several things in common. They are always polite and rational people. They are firm, but flexible. They can recognize power and know how to use it. They are sensitive to the dynamics of a negotiation, the way it rises and falls, and how it may change direction. They project an image of confidence. And, perhaps most importantly, they know when to stop.
And what about an unsuccessful negotiator?
Well, this is probably all of us when we start out. We are probably immature and over-trusting, too emotional or aggressive. We are unsure of ourselves, and we want to be liked by everyone. Good negotiators learn fast. Poor negotiators remain like that and go on losing negotiations.
In your opinion, can the skills of negotiation be taught?
Well, you can teach someone how to prepare for negotiation. There are perhaps 6 stages in every negotiation. Get to know the other side. State your goals. Start the process. Clarify areas of disagreement or conflict. Reassess your position, making acceptable compromises. And finally, reach some agreement in principle. These stages can be studied, and the strategies to be used in each can be planned beforehand. But I think the really successful negotiator is probably born with a sixth sense about responding appropriately to the situation at hand.
The artistic sense you've just described?
Yes, that's right.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What does the man say about good negotiators? Question 13. What does the man say may be the most important thing to a successful negotiator? Question 14. How is a good negotiator different from a poor one? Question 15. What is the first stage of a negotiation, according to the man? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear 3 or 4 questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices, marked A, B, C and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre.
Passage 1. Some people wonder why countries spend millions of dollars on space projects. They want to know how space research helps people on Earth. Actually, space technology helps people on Earth every day. This is called spin-off technology. Spin-off technology is space technology that is now used on Earth. In early space programs, such as the Apollo missions of the 1960s and 1970s, and in the space shuttle missions today, scientists developed objects for the astronauts to use on the moon and in space. We now use some of these objects every day. For example, we have quartz crystal clocks and watches accurate to within 1 minute a year. We purify the water we drink with a water filter designed for the astronauts' use in space. The cordless handheld tools we use in our homes, such as vacuum cleaners, flashlights, drills, and saws, came from the technology of these early space programs. On cold winter days, we can stay warm with battery-operated gloves and socks, and specially made coats and jackets. All of these clothes are similar to the spacesuit designs that kept astronauts comfortable in the temperatures of the moon, and are spin-offs from space technology. These products are only a few examples of the many ways space technology helps us in our everyday lives. No one knows how new spin-off technology from the International Space Station will help us in the future.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. What do some people want to know about space exploration? Question 17. What did scientists do for the space shuttle missions? Question 18. What does the speaker say about quartz crystal clocks and watches? Passage 2. Well, if I could go back in history and live, I'd like to go back to the 18th century and perhaps in colonial America, in Yankee New England, where one of my ancestors lived, because it was the beginning of something. By the 18th century, there was a feeling of community that had grown. My ancestor was a preacher travelling around the countryside. People lived in small communities. There were fishermen and farmers who provided fresh food that tasted and looked like food, unlike that in today's supermarkets. And there were small towns, and New York wasn't that far away. I'm deeply attached to the Puritan tradition, not in a religious sense, but they believed in working for something, working for goals, and I like that. They worked hard at whatever they did, but they had a sense of achievement. They believed in goodness, in community, in helping one another. I love the colonial fabrics, all the silverwork, the furnishings, the combination of elegance and simplicity. I love it. The printing, the books, I'm very attached to all that kind of thing. It may not all be very entertaining in the modern sense of the word, but I would have enjoyed spending my evenings in that environment, discussing new ideas, building a new world. And I can see myself sitting on a small chair by the fire doing needlework.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. Why does the speaker say she would like to go back and live in the 18th century America? Question 20. What does the speaker say about the Puritans? Question 21. What would the speaker like doing if she could go back to the past? Passage 3. If you are lost in the woods, a little knowledge can turn what some people call a hardship into an enjoyable stay away from the troubles of modern society. When you think you are lost, sit down on a log or a rock or lean against a tree and recite something that you have memorized to bring your mind to a point where it is under control. Don't run blindly. If you must move, don't follow a stream unless you know it, and in that case, you are not lost. Streams normally flow through wetland before they reach a lake or a river. Though there are more eatable plants, there may also be wild animals, poisonous snakes, and other hazards. Many experts feel that it is wisest to walk uphill. At the top of most hills and mountains are trails leading back to civilization. If there are no trails, you are much easier to be seen on top of a hill, and you may even spot a highway or a railroad from this point. Nowadays, the first way someone will search for you is by air. In a wetland or in dense growth, you are very hard to spot. Anytime you go into the woods, somebody should know where you are going and when you expect to return. Also, when someone comes looking, you should be able to signal to them.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 22. What does the speaker advise you to do first if you are lost in the woods? Question 23. What will happen if you follow an unknown stream in the woods? Question 24. What do many experts think is the wisest thing to do if you are lost in the woods? Question 25. What should you do before you go into the woods?
This is the end of listening comprehension.